Chuck Chat Technorama for Wednesday, August 24th, 2005.
This show is a proud member of
the TechPodcast.com network.
Find out more about this and other shows at
www.techpodcast.com.
TechPodcast.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocopic Margot vanes. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated annulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the facial lunar wing shaft. Lotus O deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal deplanaration. Retroencabulator.
Hello and welcome to Chuck Chat Technorama. I'm your host, Chuck Tomasi. And with me, as always, is the milkman, Craig Stepp.
Yeah, just don't tell anybody when their husbands are not home.
Okay, welcome to Technorama. It's the real milk that makes the difference. If you're new to the show, welcome to your... Well, you're in for a treat. And if you're returning, we have to wonder why. Coming up in tonight's show, boy, if you're not watching the webcam, you're missing a treat. We have a webcam off of the chuckchat.com website, and
it's Rostonite.
It's Rostonite, man. I forgot my hat, so I got the dreads.
Yeah, I have to say, you look like Howard Stern on crack.
Oh, wait, isn't that a bit redundant?
Yeah, crack on Howard Stern.
Coming up in tonight's show, we've got a little bit of news about Linux and its trademark. And, of course, the big news today is...
Google's IM.
IM what?
IM.
I am podcasting. I am wearing a wig.
Yeah.
We've got a whole bunch of other things, too, but first we have these words from our sponsor.
If you joined our first live event at techpodcast.com, you'll agree that everyone had a great time. We'll be having more live events with GoToMeeting again and again. We'll be demonstrating websites, software, projects, and all sorts of solutions at our next event. GoToMeeting allowed us to share our presenter's screen seamlessly. You can try GoToMeeting for your own needs free for 30 days. To get this special deal, head to gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. You'll love what you see.
You know what? I was going to stick a sweeper in there, but I forgot. I wanted to get back to talking because we have so much to talk about. We'll do a sweeper some other time.
Yeah, we got plenty of them.
We got a ton of them. But this was Craig's favorite because he's mentioned in this one.
Yeah. Play it.
All right.
Now play it.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
We know him. We love him. He's here.
Hello.
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 Well, doesn't anybody mention me? We're going to get in trouble if we start stealing their characters.
Yeah, and this isn't a 5-minute podcast either.
Craig, my dinner gave me a binary high five tonight.
Well, tell your wife to cook it a little longer.
No. It wasn't like a raw cow. We were making baked potatoes, and we had one long one, and one round one, and one long one. And when I pulled them out of the oven, I said, oh my gosh, it says 101. So I had to take a picture and stick it on Flickr, and we'll put them in the show notes tonight.
Perhaps you can put it on eBay.
Yes, I can sell the binary high five potato trio, as long as it has some tie-in with the Virgin Mary, right?
Yeah, you can sell it beside that with the grilled cheese that had the Virgin Mary on it.
I saw it on eBay.
I swear.
But better news than that, we've got mailing lists. I have been trying to figure out a good way to do this, and finally I said, ah, the heck with it. Why try and set up a tool on somebody else's host to do what I want to do simply anyway? So I have set up several Google groups, and I will put links on the website how to subscribe to one of the three show notes. No, one of the three mailing lists. There's cool. going to be a weekly announcement mailing list, which will say, hey, we're on this show over here. I'm covering for that podcast, or I stuck a segment in there. We're mentioned on that one. And we will have one specific for Technorama discussions that anyone can participate. It won't be just a one-way thing going, Chuck said this and Chuck said that. It's going to be a group participatory thing, one for each show, Technorama and Freestyle. So cool. Look for those links on the website, and we will be moving yet another generation closer to reality.
I doubt it.
Shh, I got to do this live this time. Okay. This is On This Day in Tech History. On this day in tech history, it was on this day in 1456 that the printing of the Gutenberg Bible was completed. Thank you to, what's his name? The guy who played in Police Academy, right? No. In 1831, Charles Darwin is asked to travel on the HMS Beagle. He forgot his boarding pass. That's when he wound up going to the Galapagos and did his whole theory of evolution thing. It was a wonderful day on August 24th, 1853, when the Potato Chips first appeared. I love that band. In 1891, Thomas Edison patents the motion picture camera. Wow, my eyes jumped and it looked like it said motion picture canal. But that's the next line, because in 1909, workers started pouring concrete for the Panama Canal. It has nothing to do with Thomas Edison and his camera. Amelia Earhart is the first woman to fly across the United States nonstop from L.A. to Newark, New Jersey in 1932. Voyager 2 passes Neptune on this day in 1989. And it's a famous day in 1995, August 24th. Where were you on this day when Windows 95 first became available? The U.S. spacecraft Voyager 2 was 71 astronomical units, or AU, from the Earth and is escaping the solar system at the speed of about 3.3 AU per year. Wow, that's fast. It will be approximately 40,000 years before Voyager 2 approaches another planetary system. Bon voyage! Famous birthdays on this day include Joshua Lionel Cohen in 1880. He was the inventor of the toy electric train. Get it? His middle name is Lionel. In 1974, Jennifer Lean, the actress who played on Star Trek. She was Kes, right?
I believe so.
That's what I named my iMac G4. See, I have a Star Trek theme at my house. That's Kes right there. And, of course, we couldn't forget that today is the 71st birthday of Kenny Baker. Who, you say? Kenny Baker's the man who played R2-D2. He looks hardly a day over a millennium. Falcon.
Especially with that nice metal sheen.
And that's the way it was on August 24th. And that's the way it goes. Pretty cool.
Not too bad.
Wow, didn't trip up too bad.
Nope.
We forgot to turn up the music volume because I turned it down at the end of that thing. So now we got to run that ad again. Here we go.
Get your own piece of the internet and save over 20% at GoDaddy. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name, and our friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, our listeners can get .com names for just $6.95 at GoDaddy. No limit. Just enter Tech2 as your source code. That's T-E-C-H and the number 2. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com.
Hey. This is Kevin Devon from In the Trenches, and you're listening to Chuck Chat with Chuck Tomasi.
Yes, sir, you are listening to. And we've got lots of more news and stories and things. Craig, did you ever notice that they don't use acronyms in Star Trek?
Well, see, that's where I disagree with you.
And now, wait a minute. Think of how many acronyms we use every day in our jargon. TCPIP and NFS and ATR, ATM, CD, it goes on and on. It's just a technical
ASAP.
Thing. Or UPS. It goes on and on. And they don't use that many. I mean, they'll always say, Jeffrey's tube or the antimatter-matter mixing chamber. Now, come on, you could make that shorter with some acronyms, but they don't use them as much as they really could, or they'd lose the average person if they just walked around spewing out 3- and 4-letter acronyms all the time.
Well, when you brought this up the other day, the first thing that popped in my head was LaSARS.
Okay, that's the interface where you have the menus down the side and top, and I've even seen some web interfaces use that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a rare exception in comparison to what we use every day, especially in IT or programming. And think about it. You program in PHP and MySQL.
With an IDE.
Exactly. You see how bad it gets real fast?
Well, yeah, but it's easy to remember those things.
Well, we need some sort of acronym standards committee because it's getting out of control. ATM could stand for a network protocol.
No. You want an ISO standard for acronyms?
ISO, IEEE, yeah. That makes sense, doesn't it? Put somebody who's got an acronym in charge of acronyms?
Yeah.
Well, I heard about a new protocol, not a protocol, I heard about a new standard yesterday, the HDCP, which is the High Definition Copy Protection Algorithm, mm-hmm. that they're going to be putting on some of these movies. And I went, HDCP sounds way too close to DHCP, which is Dynamic Host Control Protocol. I went, oh, come on, HDCP, DHCP, people can't even, the average user can't even walk up to me and say, I need help with my HTML. They don't get that right. Some people can't spell RSS.
And HTML, now that's what I use to hook up my cable to my TV, right?
So you're going to be talking to somebody at the office and go, they're going to say, I got this new movie and I can't view it on this low-res screen because it has DHCP. So all us geeks can just laugh at them.
Oh, gosh.
But I was way off track. You had something closer related to Star Trek than that.
Yeah, apparently there's a new Star Trek phone coming out. Let's see, it's from a company called Sona Mobile. I haven't heard from them before. And Viacom, Consumer Products, and Viacom, of course, owns the Star Trek property with Paramount. And the device, it'll have Star Trek sounds for, I guess, phone ringing and whatnot. It'll have games on there. It'll play video clips and surf the net, your basic stuff. But there's a part down here I don't really understand that it's supposed to do. It's something about streaming video, I think, between phones, which would be interesting to see. So it's hard to envision exactly what they're talking about without seeing it. But, I'm sure it'll cost an arm and a leg, too.
As all new technology costs an arm and a leg.
Yeah, that'll probably be out of this world. But it I don't know. It just seemed interesting, being a Star Trek fan.
You also found a new thing dealing with Grease Monkey, one of your favorite toys.
Yeah, Grease Monkey rearing its, I swear it's an ugly head, but it's a pretty little head. This is a bubble previews in Gmail. You know how on Google Maps, when you click on one of the waypoints or whatever, it shows a little cartoon bubble pointing to the...
Yeah, I was looking around there, and I pointed to something in appeared to be West Virginia, and it said, this is St. Paul, Minneapolis. And I said, you're not even close.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's in St. Paul, Minneapolis. New Jersey or something.
Yeah, St. Paul, Minnesota. Wow. Yeah,
I'm sorry, Minnesota.
They moved a whole city and a state.
Yeah. Didn't you get the memo?
I've heard of the sister city program, but that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, they've got Gmail. Is it like an auto preview pane thing that comes up?
That's exactly what it is. So you write when you get, you have to install the newest. I think it's actually the another preview version of Grease Monkey, not the current release. It's like 3.5. You got to have like version 5, which is out now. And I think it's like a preview release. Anyway, you install that. You install the Gmail conversation script, and it gives you those preview bubbles on your Gmail conversation. So you got your list of conversations in your inbox. You right-click on one, and you'll see that balloon pop up.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you can trash it right there. You can archive it and all that stuff from right there within the bubble. Very nice.
Bubbles. Slipped into my Nemo mode.
Bubbles.
And as we mentioned on this day in history, Windows 95 is 10, count them, 10.
10 years of headaches. Actually, you know what you mentioned? Where were you when 95 was? I was in my tech room. I had people, there's people I used to work with, they were morons. They started selling it, and before I ever seen it, I had to install it that day and do it properly. I'm like, you know, what a pain in the butt.
From that stack of floppies.
Yeah. And I think at the time, the customer also ordered a CD-ROM, which is fairly new.
Yeah, in 95, those weren't common on all machines.
No, they weren't. So, yeah, I remember installing it. It's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just feeding this, and it looks right. You know, and I remember I bought a machine specifically for Windows 95 play around with it. I had, I think, Windows for Workgroups on it for a little while, and then 95 came out. You know, I bought it just for that. And, you know, in all fairness, I thought 95 was pretty cool. It was something different.
Oh, it's better than 3.1, that's for sure.
It was a lot more functional, 3.1 and a lot of stuff, especially, oh gosh, you know, 3.1 was like, I don't even know.
Hold on, you're running out of graphics resources. Crash!
But I don't remember 95 crashing as much, at least in the early days. And I guess when you started getting all this hardware and all these drivers, and that adds to it a lot. And I don't know, it was kind of fun when it first came out. Of course, the shine went away pretty quick.
Well, yeah, when you hooked it up to the network. We were on the early beta test, actually. I think I saw it back in June of 95. I had release candidate 1, 2, and 3. And I had some of those discs sitting over on the old museum shelf across the room until this past week, and I finally got sick and threw out a whole bunch of old crap. And those were among them.
You know what? Speaking of that, I do remember installing, maybe it was just before Windows 95 came out. That's what it was. I just before it came out, that's right. This guy came in, he was a beta tester, and he had just gotten a new version, and he gave me his second old disk. There's a CD-ROM with it on there. I still got it, I believe.
Oh, man.
And as a matter of fact, when we're done with the show, I'll probably go get it and see if I can scan it in and post a picture up. But, yeah, and it said, like, beta whatever, and that's what I installed on my machine instead of Windows after Windows for Workgroups on it.
Whoops. In the microprocessor.
Faster than fiber channel.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi on ChuckChat.com.
Captain! Captain, we're under attack by some Japanese fighting robot!
It's a mold robot! I saw this and I had to talk about this in the show. It's the Japanese prime minister was attacked by a mall security robot. I don't know if any of y'all saw this, but apparently the Japanese prime minister was supposed to do a meet and greet with the mall security robot that the mall's been using for an entire year. And what does the thing do as soon as it sees him? It immediately blows a smoke screen in front of him.
It looks like it's on fire or something. The article reads, Japan's first mall patrolling security robot, the T-63 Artemis, took an instant... Artemis, excuse me. This hair is in my face. Took an instant dislike to Japan's Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi yesterday. A simple meet-and-greet experience was obviously too much for the baddie bot, which launched a smokescreen on contact. The robot has been patrolling the mall for a year now, disturbing the donut dunking of real rent-a-cops with high-pitched alarms whenever it spots suspicious behavior, note the finger quotes, So either the strain of meeting a Japanese icon was too much for Koizumi. Oh, wait, it was too much. Or Koizumi was spotted with his hand in the pick and mix. Either way, it's really just as well the PM didn't meet the 30-foot-tall, fire-breathing Tokyo Destroyer pictured, or king of them all, Robosaurus.
Hey, you know what? As I read this, I could all of a sudden hear George Bush Sr.
Puking?
No, it's a sigh of relief. Finally, the joke's on the robot instead of him. Whew, finally, something more embarrassing.
There, and you gave me this.
I am sorry, Will Robinson. I am afraid I goofed.
Way to go, Craig. Yeah. Hair in my mouth.
Good haircut, baby.
Yeah. It's getting kind of warm in here, too. Funny, this didn't keep me that warm on the ski hill. Oh, my goodness.
Apparently, the Japanese prime minister is okay, so we can all laugh about it now.
Yeah, smoking is bad for your robot.
You're listening to the Technorama podcast, and this is Rob from Podcast 411 reminding you to listen different.
Tell me about Linux and that trademark thing.
The trademark thingy. Actually, what, hold on. Let me pull that up while I'm
holding. By the way, that clunk you heard is in our next article.
Now, the Linux, LMI, which is the Linux Mark Institute, who represents Linus Torvalds, trademark for Linux.
Yes.
They, started enforcing, you know, their trademark on some companies in Australia, which I thought was kind of odd just down there, but it was in Australia, and they were charging them $200 to $5,000, depending on the company, and for use of the trademark. It's not use of the software, per se, but so much as the trademark and, I guess, their business name or products. And a lot of people started going, oh my gosh, Linus is cashing out, oh my god. But, if he doesn't actively pursuit police as trademark,
yeah,
you know, then there's no case, you know, for anybody to use it as they can. Anybody can use it as their wish. And there's already been a case of that before. There was a guy or a company in Germany, if you don't remember, maybe about a year or two ago,
mm-hmm.
They claimed that they owned the Linux trademark in Germany, and of course that was overturned because he owns the trademark in, I think, just about every company. So I didn't really see a big deal with this. And, you know, they're making money. These companies, they're making money on Linux products. And what's the biggest pocket change to them, you know?
For something that's free.
Yeah. I mean, these companies are making some serious money with Linux. You know, yeah. $200 to $5,000 is nothing. So, and from what I understand, the LMI Institute is, running on fumes as far as money goes anyway. So, yeah, throw them a bone. Come on.
They need it. No, he needs it. We're good to go.
Allow myself to introduce myself.
This is Victor Cahill from the Typical PC User Podcast at www.typicalpcuser.com. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp.
Nerd alert!
No, there's no nerd alert here. But what we do have is our feature story, saving the best for last near the end. Google's got a new IM client, as if you didn't hear that on every other podcast today.
Actually, it's been kind of quiet. It's the first time I've heard about that.
Really?
No.
What rock have you been hiding under?
Man, everybody and their brother's been talking about Google IM.
Truth be known.
Google Talk, rather.
We are using that right now.
Yeah. We thought, what the heck, we'd throw caution in the wind and record a show with it right tonight.
We've had this session up for, what, close to an hour?
Yeah, it's been doing pretty good.
It's rock solid, and better than Gizmo was doing the other night.
Oh, gosh, don't get me started on Gizmo. I want that program to work so bad.
Yeah,
but
it
didn't.
It is. I mean, it's nice because it's the new open standard. What kind of dance am I doing on that web picture? Doing the Pulp Fiction thing there.
I was going to say, you're like, dee, 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 dee. Anyway, so we...
Back on track. We're easily distracted.
Focus, Chuck. Focus.
That's what looks like what I'm trying to do in the picture.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, anyway, you can, of course, talk with it. Seems to sound okay so far. I guess we'll know if we have to do the show twice. We'll let you know. But I don't know if this is really competition with Skype so much. You know, a lot of people were talking about that, but because you can talk PC to PC. But, you know, I think the thing about Skype is you can also call, you know,
Mac and Linux.
And places, you know, you can call.
Yeah, you can go outside to a regular PSTN.
Yeah. So, I do like that it's based on Jabber. I know you've had some experience with Jabber.
We use Jabber at work primarily behind our firewall because we needed an IM client that we needed to keep traffic inside the firewall. Mm-hmm. And that one suited the bill. We had a Mac, I think it was an older G4 sitting around, so we stood it up on that and worked fine. We use LDAP for the authentication, so people say, hey, I'm first.last@company.com, mm-hmm. and give the password, which everybody knows their regular Active Directory password, and they're in. Works great.
What do y'all allow conduits out to the AIM and MSN and all that?
We do through the firewall, and actually our Jabber server is now on our DMZ, so we can contact it from outside the firewall, so you don't have to be at work to chat with people at work.
Yeah, well, I was saying that I know Jabber has conduits to talk to those other protocols. That's what I was wondering if y'all had it set up like that, or y'all just
I don't
say, well,
know
you can install
point,
MSN right. if you want, or
yeah, I don't think so at this point, but I could be wrong. I'm not that close mm-hmm. to the project. They basically said, here, it's set up. Here's the login. Go.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some cool stuff you can do with Jabber too. I don't know that it'd be so much as a good hack since the server is a Google, but. I remember a Linux Journal I thought was very interesting. It's an article that was in the Linux Journal several years back now about Jabber, and they're talking about using streaming XML. And you can write applications, of course, to, like, I would set up a pseudo user on a server,
mm-hmm.
and you can send commands to that server and have it do something and return XML data back to you.
That's neat, like, yeah. So we could expect to see some extended functionality and things out of it.
Yeah, if you said, like, disk space, you know, it would show your disk space on that server, or you can query how many users are on, or whatever. You know, there's a bunch of stuff you could do. And I thought it was fascinating at the time, and I actually set one up, but I just don't think, and where I work, they just don't care about IAM. I had two people using it, and then they kind of waned off of it, so I said, screw it. I'll IM myself.
I'll just sit over here in the corner and chat with myself.
Come on, IM by myself.
Hey, it's okay to talk to yourself and it's okay to answer yourself, but you're in trouble when you start saying, huh?
What was that Infocom, the Zoll Games used to say was, talking to yourself is a sign of impending mental collapse?
I got to tell you, so far I'm liking this. Because it's got the IM capability that Skype has. Granted, it's only Windows to Windows, but I'm guessing it's only a short manner to... What? What?
It's not necessarily Windows to Windows. The talking part is...
The talking part. I'm sorry. Yes, you can IM between Macs and
all you need
Linux.
Is a
Jabber client.
Yeah, all you need is a Jabber-enabled client.
But the talking part, the VoIP is still only Windows to Windows, but you got to imagine that's... Only a few, it's a matter of probably days or weeks before they've got a Mac client.
Skype's doing it. Anybody, anybody should be able to do it.
Skype's doing it.
Skype's doing it.
You're listening to Technorama.
What the chuck?
What's up with that?
I have a quick what the chuck. I had an adventure on Monday at work. I am supposed to be doing project management full-time, but every once in a while, somebody's out. And it was a typical Monday morning where I was the first one in, and I got a call from our Raleigh office, and they said, the guys in the UK can't talk to their file server. Long story short, I found out in about 15 minutes that time sync was out of sync between the NAS, the network-attached storage box, and the domain controller. And if they get more than 5 minutes, I think, 5 minutes apart, they stop authenticating. Because stupid old me didn't set up NTP last November when he was setting up the server before he shipped it over to Scotland.
Moron.
Moron. So I get the what the chuck.
That's, Chuck was having a blonde moment.
I suppose I should have sent down a better version of that to Kevin Devins in the trenches as a tech tip. Hey, stupid! Set up NTP! Get time synchronization between your servers and make sure it works! Or in 8 months, you're going to be sorry.
You're listening to Chuck Tomasi, and this is Johnny B. with MostlyTrivial.com. Ain't he funny?
Hey, I wasn't on the script!
Ain't he funny?
Geek Thoughts.
You know, I think the number of computers that I've owned exceeds the number of relationships that I've had.
Yeah, but at least you can be polygamous with computers. Honey, I'm seeing a Mac.
Just don't let the other one know.
No way, man. We're on the network. We're all together.
Man, I gotta pay alimony to the Mac.
Oh my, there's a whole bunch of geek humor in there, but yes, I think I have, I know I have more computers than relationships.
You're sad, man.
We're winding down. We're down to that last paragraph of the show notes. Be sure to catch our next show on Sunday the 28th. We're planning on talking with Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page podcast. Why on earth would we talk to her? Because she's an old Unix geek from way back. Mm-hmm. We've got lots of good stories, and I have notes to beat the band on her. We've got lots of talking points, and she's pretty fascinating. If everything works out in Skype and, you know, schedules, but we're set. The schedule's locked. And barring any technical difficulties or personal disasters, which we hope not on anybody, we're there.
I've seen your hair in this.
How does that relate to personal disaster?
You look at your webcam.
We're up to 3 viewers. And be sure to catch the August 24th, that's today, Podcast 411 interview. Rob from Podcast 411 interviews yours truly for a good 15 minutes. And as a strange twist of fate, I have his interview in the freestyle feed available also on the website. I was also mentioned on Radio NHCWX, which is a streaming weather podcast, weather kind of thing. I've played their promo a couple of times, and I happen to be doing my show. I blew them away.
Huh? Raining on their parade.
Oh. Here we go again.
Yeah,
I was doing a freestyle show last Thursday as tornado sirens were going off, and they thought that was kind of neat and used a clip there. So if you want to hear how that went, that was interesting. And Saturday,
you
I will
were
be
fast as lightning. Okay, sorry.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm podcasting. Saturday, I will be covering for Richard Vobes on the Richard Vobes radio show at www.vobes.com. Funny British humor. And you'll be getting a not-so-funny American guy covering for him. No, I've got his show down pat.
Hey, I heard a preview. Be sure to check out the show. It's going to be good.
It's going to be a very Americanized version of same kind of thing. I'm not going to spoil it. There's a few surprises in there too.
It's like the backwards version of, do you know what they call a quarter pounder in France?
And if you play my
Royale
version in reverse,
with cheese.
Yeah,
maybe Royale with cheese.
Tell them how to contact us, Craig.
I shall do that. You can contact us at the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com, or you can email me at keyboardmonkey@gmail.com. Don't forget our webcam. It's at chuckchat.com/webcam, and our website at chuckchat.com.
Forums and clothing and
the mailing list.
Mailing list, yes. We will have links up there shortly. I'll probably be doing that while Craig is doing the show notes. And the file is encoding. Thank you for joining us, as always. Thank you for joining us, and as always, a little slow on the music tonight. A big binary high five! Potato, potato, potato. Come on, Craig, where's the 101? Did we lose Craig? Craig? Well, so much for G-Talk. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye now. He forgot his parting words of wisdom. Things should be made as simple as possible, but not any simpler. From Albert Einstein. Thank you and good night.